Good morning. Welcome to worship in High Street Methodist Church on this sunny but somewhat chilly Sunday morning. A special welcome to you if you're visiting for the first time. Please do join us for some fellowship after the service, teas, coffees, etc. But I would remind everyone that there is a church AGM after the service, which we think will start about 12:15. I have some announcements. the newsletter, as you know. It's circulated by email, and there are copies of the most recent newsletter on the table at the back. Some key announcements from the newsletter. Rachel Prince will be speaking at the District Ordinance Testimony Service at Kidlington at 6 p.m. We at High Street can be proud that Rachel started her journey with us. After 2 years as a probationer in High Wycombe Circuit, this evening service is an important step before Rachel's full ordination at conference in June. You can either attend this evening service or you can watch it live streamed by Zoom, and the details are in the most recent church newsletter. Nikki Blois. We're very sorry to report the death of Reverend Nikki Blois. Her funeral is at North Oxfordshire Crematorium, Tackley, on Monday the 19th of May at 10 a.m. That's tomorrow. We give thanks for Nikki's life, and our sympathy goes to her husband Keith and her sons Paul and Mark and their families. And now an advertisement for stewarding at High Street. There is a need, as always, for more stewards. If anyone in the church feels that they would like to serve High Street in this way, you would be most welcome. And I know that I'm talking to a lot of people who have either done stewards before or know what it's all about, but you really would be most welcome. And please talk to Jason or any of the current stewards if you require more information. And just finally, to remind you that the church AGM will be held immediately after this service. Today's worship is being led by Graham Faulkner, with readings by Mary Ann and Dorothy. And as ever, after the service, the prayer team will be available under the stained glass window to pray with you or for you. And now, a prayer before worship. Lord of all, as we gather to worship you, we ask for hearts open to your presence. Fill this place with your spirit and our souls with your peace. Let every song, prayer, and word spoken glorify you and draw us closer with you and to each other. In your holy name we worship. Amen.
Morning, everyone. So I'll try and make sure the service finishes before your AGM. You think I'm joking? It's good to come to worship together, and let's begin our worship as we sing together, "Jesus is the name we honor."
Oh,
us pray. Bow down and worship, because this is your God. Oh, Lord. It is so nice to take time out of our busy lives and to spend it with you. Lord, it is so good for us to be able to focus on you and not the things around us. For you are our God. Lord, you know the week that we have just had, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the easy and the difficult. And through each step of that week, you have been with us. And so we want to just take this moment to say thanks. Thank you that you have loved us so much, that you have cared for us and protected us and guided us in this past week. But we also have to say sorry. Because, Lord, in this past week, there have been times when we have done things which we're not proud of. We have said words that we would not want you to have heard. And our thoughts have not been your thoughts. And so we are truly sorry, Lord. Sorry for those times when you've called us to action and we have been too busy, too tied up in our own lives to carry out what you've asked us to do. And so we're sorry, Lord. But we hear your words of grace and mercy to us, that through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ on the cross, the power of those things in our lives has been taken away. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And we pray for our young people who'll be leaving us now to go into junior church. Well, they'll be thinking about how much you love them and how much you care for them, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, that you'll be with the young people. We pray, Lord, that you'll protect them, that you'll keep them safe in this difficult world, that you'll surround them with friends who love them and care for them. And we pray for their families, for their parents. We ask that you will give them guidance and strength as they forge the path for their young people in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think about choices. I want us to think about choices. How good are you at making choices? Shall we find out? So who wants to choose salt and vinegar? Are we? Oh, what a shock. Ready salted. Okay, there's one there. Oops, sorry. There's another ready salted going over the top. Cheese and onion. Oh, yeah, there's a cheese. I won't try and throw to the back. We'll share. You'll share. Excellent. Well, I don't think you need to share because there's another cheese and onion. And there's one last one. There's one last salt and vinegar. Oh, you're a bit... Oh, okay. See, we are good at making choices, aren't we? We are good at making choices. What about a choice between... Oh, I've got to get it. A choice between ketchup and daddy's sauce. Who's a ketchup person? Ooh. Who's a daddy's sauce person? Oh, yeah. What about a choice between Coke and Pepsi? Oh, no one likes Coke or Pepsi. Sorry? I won't throw it. I'm not that good a shot. Who's the first aider? Sorry. Coke or Pepsi? Coke. You have a Pepsi? Excellent. If you hear a tsh during the service, you'll know what's going on, won't you? Okay. What about Kit Kats? Now, the choice is not just Kit Kats. The choice is ordinary Kit Kats or white Kit Kats. There was a good crawl of ordinary. Okay, so if I give them there, can you share them round? Can somebody share them round? There's only four in there, so you have to share them carefully. So if I give them there, you share them around over here, yeah? Who wants the white ones? Oh, there's a quick hand over there. Sorry, you're a bit slow there. There's nine white ones. Whoa, so you can share them around to everybody, look. Excellent. Choices, eh? What about ordinary chocolate? Bourneville, fruit and nut, or dairy milk, ordinary plain? There's lots of hands, but you haven't said which one you want. Hey, let's just give me the chocolate. No, sorry. Who wants the Bourneville? Somebody who hasn't had anything before. There's some people that don't want the shopping bag full of food over there, I tell you. Who wants the fruit and nut? There's a fruit and nut there. And who wants you want the fruit and nut? You want the plain one then? There we go. Look, there we go. Yeah, okay, that's all right. Oh. What else have we got in the bag? What about ginger nuts or Jaffa cakes? Is that ginger nuts or Jaffa cakes? Ginger nuts are over there. Oh, I'm afraid the ginger nuts have gone over here. You can share them out if you like during the service. That'd be good. Jaffa cakes. Jaffa cakes over here. They're share. Yeah, there's two. Yeah, it's a packet each. Yeah. Choices. Choices. So we are making choices all the time, aren't we? What about, would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future? Would you prefer to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future? What do you think? 10 minutes. 10 minutes? Because you know the service would be over and you'd be out then, wouldn't you? Rather than 150 years as a long service. Would you rather have telekinesis, the ability to move things with your mind, or telepathy, to be able to read people's minds? Do you want to read people's minds or move things with your mind? Move things? Move things? Move things? You don't want to read people's minds, okay? Would you rather have true love today or win the lottery next year? Some people aren't so sure about true love. Would you rather have a pause or a rewind on the button of your life? A rewind? Oh, Roy wants a rewind. When do you want to go back to, Roy?
70 years.
70 years. You've got a good memory, Roy. We have to make choices all the time. I mean, we have to make a choice about what time we're going to get up, what clothes we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. I mean, some choices are more important, aren't they, than others? Some choices cost you more, like where you're going to go on holiday, where you're going to live, what job you're going to do. And some are even more important, like who you're going to marry and who you'll have as friends. But of course, there is one decision which is the most important, which costs somebody everything and lasts for eternity. And that is to choose Jesus and have eternity with him. We're now going to have a couple of readings. So the readers would like to pop up. And for one of them, it is just pop up.
So the first reading is very short. I probably shouldn't even have my Bible open for this, but just as a prompt, it's coming from John chapter 3, and it's verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
This is from Romans, and I'm reading from the Good News edition. God's love in Christ Jesus. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave up his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather was raised to life and is at the right side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Or hardship? Or persecution? Or hunger? Or poverty? Or danger? Or death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rules or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's sing again. We sing 272, The Servant King.
The world's your glory.
So today we're going to be diving a bit deeper into John 3:16. I want to hear your thoughts. To do that, I've got some slips of paper. So I'm going to give out slips of paper, and there's some words in red on the slips of paper. And I just want you to think about the impact of the words in red. Okay? Okay, so just amongst you in groups, just think about it. What does the words in red mean? Okay? If you just want to share a few around, that's good. Just amongst yourselves. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to spread them out carefully, and then I'll just randomly distribute the rest later, all right? Okay, so just share around in a group. What does the word in red mean? And I'll ask you for your input a bit later. Does anyone desperately want a piece of paper that hasn't had one? Yes, good. Okay, you can share that one. I've got one more for anyone, a group. Excellent. Okay. Okay, so a little bit later on, I'll be asking you to share your thoughts about what that word in red means. Okay? Okay, now whilst you're just having a little think about that, I'm obviously conscious that at High Street, they do like their biscuits. So at High Street, they do like their biscuits. So who would like some biscuits to help their thoughts? Okay, so you've got hobnobs. Whoops, well caught. What would you like? Somebody has to have digestives. You want digestives, don't you? Yeah, sorry. She has to have the digestives. Okay. Okay, who wants the white chocolate digestives? Okay, excellent. And anyone want to share out the other? Oh, actually, I can open the pack here, look. There's a lot of thought going on there. You want to share those amongst yourselves? Okay, anyone else need biscuits just to get their mind going? There's a group in here, look, they're sitting. They could do with some biscuits along that group, look there. Okay, so what I want you to do is to think about that word in red. And whilst you're doing that, I'm afraid that the band are going to have to come back and sing again. Oh, I know, sorry. Sorry, so we're going to sing again. How deep the Father's love for us. Do share your biscuits around, but think about those words.
Thank you.
So just spend a couple of more minutes in your group just thinking about those words. I know I didn't give you much time, so just spend a little moment just thinking about that word in red from John 3:16. For those of you who haven't got words, just think about the reading, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever ever believe in him would have eternal life. Okay, let's see if we can work through these things together. It was interesting because the reader of John 3:16 this morning said, I almost don't need to read it. In the vestry, she was saying, I almost don't need to read it. You know, John 3:16 is the most recognized and memorized verse in the Bible. I mean, I'd imagine most of you know it by heart. I mean, if you were to watch, certainly in America, on American TV, if you watch some of the sporting things that go on, the NFL and the NBA, quite often in the end zones, in the crowd, you'll see people holding up John 3:16. It's a bit interesting because I wonder what people think about that. I mean, if you don't know God and you're not a Christian, you wouldn't really have a clue what John 3:16 means. But John 3:16 is the gist of the whole Bible wrapped up in just 25 words. If all the Bible were to be lost or destroyed except for John 3:16, there would be more than enough information for the entire world to be converted. John 3:16 tells us more about God and his plan for this world than any other scripture to which you could turn. There was once a preacher who studied John 3:16, the whole of their ministry. And when they were just coming about to retire, they realized that they'd studied it really deeply. They'd realized that they'd got at over 600 unique outlines for John 3:16. And I have them all here. No. There is no verse in Scripture that has been explained as much as John 3:16. And in some ways, there's no verse in Scripture that defies explanation as that verse does. So let's look at John 3:16. Let's look at some of the incredible truths about God's love that are held in John 3:16. Firstly, God's love is extravagant. For God so loved the world. When John wrote these words, gods were considered to be tyrants. Gods were considered to be things that drove people to hell. And even today, some religions try to satisfy their gods by going through all sorts of incantations in an attempt to placate their gods. In their minds, gods are angry gods waiting to punish people. And you've got to do something. You've got to do something to stop God driving you to hell. And it's against that backdrop that we get John 3:16. Which reminds us that God is not a tyrant. God is a God of pure and holy love. But the message of the Bible is not that man can satisfy God, but that Jesus Christ has satisfied God on our behalf, and we need to put our trust in him. So let's look at some of those significant words. Who's got the word so? Okay, so what does the word so convey to you? Sorry? So. What does the word so mean to you when you read that passage, yeah? Emphasis. Emphasis, yeah? The word so. Anyone else have anything to say about the word so? So. Yeah. Yeah. How did God love? He so loved the world. One of the most significant words in John 3:16 is that little word, so. In that word are all the agonies of the cross, all the sufferings of Jesus on earth. God loves us, and he loves us in such a special way. What way? He so loves us that he did something about it. When you love somebody, you say to them, I love you. I really do love you. I love you to the moon and back. But I hope that love leads to action. And God did not just say to us he loves us. God said he loves us and then he did something about it to prove that he loves us. And as he hung on the cross, writhing in agony, God was writing his message of love to us. He knew that we were doomed and damned to death because of our sin. And so he sent Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love is extravagant and God's love is extensive. Let's hear from those who had the word the world, or the words the world. What does that mean? Sorry? The creation, yeah? Home? Yeah, anyone else? Yeah, the workplace, your home, everything. Your whole life. Okay, anyone else have any thoughts about the world? Yeah. Everybody in the world. Okay. Okay, good. So the whole of creation, but not just people. For God so loved the world. God, the eternal creator, the all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing sustainer of life, loves the world. But God's love is not reserved for the earth, just the earth in itself, but everything and everyone who ever was, is, or will be. It's interesting to discover that the first time the word agape is used by John in John 3:16. He'd go on to use that word 35 more times, 31 in 1 John and another 35 times in the Gospel. Agape, that word that says God's love. And we're taught to believe that when you first use a word in Greek, that is to define the word. So in some ways, John is defining the word agape in John 3:16. Here we are told how God so loved the world. If you or I had been given the opportunity to choose someone to love, would we have chosen the world? I mean, it's quite extraordinary to think about this, because these words came from the lips of a Jewish person. These are lips from Jesus. And the ancient Hebrews in their day did not look on anyone else with favor except another Jew. A Jewish person would look down with proud disdain on every Gentile. But here is Jesus, a Jew, declaring that God loves everyone. God loves the lovable. He loves the unlovable. He loves those who know him. He loves those who don't know him. He loves them from every tribe and every nation in the entire globe. God loves the world. If there is anyone in this world that does not fit into that statement of God's love, then the Bible cannot be true. I mean, you may be sitting there thinking of somebody, thinking, well, God can't really love them. And if that were true, then the Bible is not true. God does love them. God loves the whole world. There is nobody that God does not love. God's love is extensive. But when God says he loves the whole world, it is possible for God to love the whole world and yet at the same time to love every individual in the world in the same intimate way that I love my family. God loves each individual in the world as if they were the only person in the world who needed to be loved. Thirdly, God's love is expensive. It's free to us, but cost God everything. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Who had the only begotten son? Yeah.
It's special
Yeah. It's special, unique. Anyone else? Yeah.
He gave the most precious thing that he had.
Brilliant. He gave the most precious thing he had, the unique thing, the special thing. The Creator was born in the likeness of his creation. Out of love, Jesus Christ, God wrapped in flesh, was given to us. The fact that Jesus was sent to live among us is indisputable evidence that God loves you. God's only begotten Son means God's unique Son, the only Son that God had. According to John 3:16, God demonstrates such love by giving the most expensive gift he could possibly give. There is nothing else that God could have done that would have exceeded the expense of the gift of his only Son. God looked around in heaven and said, "What should I do? I need to send a message of love to my creation." And he put his hand upon his Son and said, "This is what I will do. I will send you there to be my message to pay the price for their sin." God did not spare his only Son, but gave him up that we might be saved. So God's love is extravagant. God's love is extensive. God's love is expensive. But God's love is also expansive. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever..." So who had the whoever? Yeah, what does whoever mean? Everyone. Yeah? Yeah?
Every single person.
Every single person. Yeah? Every single person. When I read the words "whosoever," I realize that it includes me. For that word includes everybody. The Bible says that God so loved the world, and because of that, whoever can receive his love. Each and every person, no matter who they are, where they come from, what language they speak, the colour of their skin, what their background is, what they have done or what they haven't done, the Bible says that God loves the whole world. And he sent his only begotten Son to be the saviour of the whole world, that whoever can be saved. You can put anybody's name in that place of anybody. Anyone you know, anyone you've heard of, anybody that you think might not be a candidate for salvation, put their word in there. Whoever. What this verse says is that if you're alive on planet Earth today, you are a candidate for God's love. Well, you might say, "Well, hang on a minute, Graham. Why isn't everybody saved? Why isn't everybody a Christian? Why doesn't everyone get a free pass to heaven?" Because, you see, God's love is expansive, but it's also exclusive. Here's what I mean. If you look at the verse, "whosoever," what word comes next?
Believes.
Perhaps the most important key word in John's Gospel. The love of God will prove useless to anyone who does not believe. You see, you can be offered the love of God, and he offers it to the whole world, to everybody. But just because God offers you his love doesn't mean that you get it. In order to get his love, you have to receive it. You have to reach your hands out and take it. For example, I'm sorry, I'm a bit of a cheapskate. I've only got £2. But I've got £2 here. Who wants it? Who wants it? Yeah? Who wants it? Who wants it? Who wants it? The difference? You can sit there all you like saying, "I want it, I want it, I want it," but you've got to do something about it. I can sort you out £2 later, don't worry. Some people come to church and think that by coming to church and hearing about the love of God, that's all you need. But you can still perish knowing about the love of God. You go to heaven receiving the love of God. God isn't going to force his love upon you. God offers his love. His hands are wide open. The cross is a picture of his extended arms welcoming everybody into the shed blood of the cross. But my friends, you can't have what you don't receive. John 3:18, just a couple of verses after the one we're looking at, says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." While it is true to say, friends, that God loves everyone, it's not true to say that everybody receives that love. Only those who believe receive. God's love is extravagant, extensive, expensive, expansive, and exclusive. But God's love is also exceptional. Whoever believes will not perish. Let me just put a little bit of thought into that word, perish. Perish does not mean annihilated. Perish does not mean that you will cease to exist. Every one of you here today will be alive somewhere forever. You know, some people teach that when you die, you cease to exist. But the Bible is not, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we will live forever. We're either going to live forever in heaven, or we're going to live forever in hell. But you will live forever somewhere. The Bible says if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, if we believe that he came to earth and he was God's gift to us and he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin and we put our trust in him and believe in him, we will not perish. Another aspect of the word perish means to be separated from God's love forever. To be separated from God is far worse than any of those pictures of fire and brimstone that you've ever thought about in hell. To be separated from God is to be eternally locked into your unquenchable thirst, your terrible passions, your appetites, your cravings, your frustrations, your inflamed desires, your fierce longings, your your lust, your white-hot temper, your spine-chilling fears. All of these things, there will be no relief. The Bible says that when you go into eternity as a lost person, you carry into eternity all the unfulfillment of your life. But the Bible says, when we receive God's love, we will never be separated from God's love. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive eternal life with him. And when does that eternal life start? The moment you believe. And that means from the moment you believe, all the way into as far as you can imagine eternity is, you are and cannot be separated from God. There aren't any conditions on that life. There's no ifs and buts on that life. Eternal means eternal. It means it cannot ever end. Listen to those words from Romans. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ." What part of this don't we get? Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ." When you become a Christian, when you truly put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are given the gift of eternal life with him. When we die, we'll be more alive than we've ever been before. John 3:16 begins with a God who has no beginning and ends with a life that has no ending. What we do with that love is all important. God does not force his love upon us. In fact, I don't believe that you can force love on anyone. But I want to tell you what the Bible says as clearly as I can. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your background, whatever situation you're in, God loves you. He always has loved you, and he always will love you. And whoever believes in him, no matter what they've done or where they've been, no matter your age, your skin color, your gender, your socioeconomic status or race, whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have eternal life. What you do with that love is up to you. But you will never be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. Why won't you let me into heaven? All you have to do is accept his love. Accept that gift of Jesus Christ. The Titanic was a great ship of its time. And there's been lots of movies about it, lots of documentaries and books written about its sinking and about the people involved on the Titanic. But I want to tell you about one person, Pastor John Harper. John Harper boarded the Titanic with his six-year-old daughter. And he was on his way to Moody Church in Chicago because he was going to be their next minister. And when the Titanic hit the iceberg, John Harper successfully led his daughter to a lifeboat. Now, because John Harper was a widower, he could have got on the lifeboat too. But instead, he was determined to stay and try the best he could to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as he could. And Harper ran from person to person, passionately telling them about Jesus Christ. And as the water began to submerge the unsinkable ship, John Harper was heard shouting, "Women and children and unsaved, get into the lifeboats!" Rebuffed by a certain man at the offer of salvation, John Harper gave him his own life jacket, saying, "If you're not going to receive Jesus Christ, you better put this on, because you need it more than I do." Up until the very last moment on the ship, John Harper pleaded with people to give their lives to Jesus Christ. Finally, as the ship disappeared beneath the frigid waters, leaving hundreds floundering in the wake with no realistic chance of rescue, John Harper struggled through hypothermia to swim to as many people as he could, still sharing the gospel. He would lose his battle with hypothermia, but not before giving as many people as he could one last chance to receive Jesus Christ before they died. 4 years after that tragedy, there was a Titanic survivors meeting in Canada. And one of the survivors recounted his interaction with John Harper in the middle of the icy waters of the Atlantic. The survivor was clinging to the ship's debris when John Harper swam up to him twice, challenging him with a biblical invitation to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The survivor rejected the offer once, and yet, given the second chance, with the miles of water beneath him, the man finally gave his life to Christ. And then John Harper succumbed to a watery grave. This new believer was rescued by a returning lifeboat, and as he concluded his talk with the remarks, "I am the last convert of John Harper." When the Titanic set sail, there were three classes of passengers. There was the first class, primarily the wealthy passengers, businessmen, politicians, high-ranking military personnel, industrialists, bankers, entertainers, socialites, professional athletes. There was second class, predominantly middle-class travellers, such as professors, authors, clergymen and tourists. And there was third class, also known as steerage, primarily immigrants moving to the United States and Canada. Immediately after the tragedy, the White Line company in Liverpool placed a board outside their office with only two classes of passenger. On one side of the board it said those known to be saved. On the others it said those known to be lost. The owners of the Titanic had simply reaffirmed what John Harper already knew. There are only two groups of people. Those who know Jesus Christ and will spend eternity with God, known to be saved, and those people who have rejected that opportunity and they're known to be lost. I want to ask you today, which list are you on? Everyone is on one list or the other. Either you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal saviour, and you're known to be saved, and one day you'll spend eternity with the Almighty, or you have not, and eternity will be very different for you. Maybe you've heard this message before, and you've heard it over and over again, and you just think that by sitting there and listening that something massive, amazing is going to happen. Maybe you think somehow God's love is going to penetrate your heart, whether you do anything or not. I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He always has. He always will. But you cannot have his love unless you receive it. And when you receive his love by receiving his son, Jesus Christ, You become a possessor of eternal life, and your name is put on the list of those known to be saved. Which list are you on? Let's sing again. In Christ alone.
Shall we pray? The responsive words to the at the end of the each section, Jesus, Lord of our lives, is graciously hear us. So Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Lamentation affirms, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein. Lord God, our Creator, we pray for our world. We thank you for your creation, especially for creating us in your own image. We are sorry for the times when we have taken your creation for granted and abused them only to gratify our selfish motives. We remember your universe amidst all the restlessness, where there is only a fragile peace, especially remembering countries engulfed in wars, violence, and the works of wickedness. Pray that the enemy's plans will be intercepted by your plans, for they can never be thwarted and will come to pass. We pray for all who work for justice and solidarity, and for all world leaders that they will continue to seek for an end to the suffering caused by this violence, injustice, inequality, poverty, and hopelessness, and to bring healing to the world. We pray for godly direction for world leaders, our King, our Prime Minister, and his cabinet, that their actions and dealings would be wise and wholesome, contributing to the good of all people, fulfilling your purposes for us. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Gracious Lord, we remember your church in every part of the world, the greater family that we are a part of. We thank you for the fullness of those who suffer injustice for the furtherance of your kingdom. We also remember those facing persecution, those for whom hunger is a daily reality, those who feel powerless to change the ways of the nations. We pray that you will provide for their physical and emotional needs as they suffer confinement, and ask that they will experience the comfort and encouragement of your Spirit that will spread your light in darkest places. We also pray for persecutors, perpetrators, and all those who oppose your gospel and reject the truth. And still, there are many, those created in your image have not known the Creator, nor the dying of his Son for their sakes. We plead for your mercy on them, enabling them to see your truth. Convict them of their errant ways, and may they too learn and experience your amazing grace, your unconditional love, and finally accept you. Lord, we pray the body of Christ would unashamedly keep God's word central in our lives and proclaim Christ in all we do. Pray that as we hear and teach God's word, we will seek to live lives of beautiful and attractive Christ-likeness, and to live all joyfully and continuously in his presence. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid of? Lord, we especially bring before you those who are troubled, those with many doubts and uncertainties, whose desire, confidence, and trust. We pray for their freedom from anxiety, rejection, and fear. We also pray for all who need both within our own families and in our local communities. We pray for those whom this day will be a long and a hard one, for those in hospital or ill at home, recovering from surgeries, and those struggling with a despair or depression, those waiting for a job, or an important news, or a friend to call them. Be thou their strength, comfort, healing, and hope. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Have mercy, O God. We confess that we have forsaken you, the spring of living water, and have dug our own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Reveal the brokenness to our own hearts, and let us see that before our eyes is a spring of life, that our endless striving to build something ourselves is futile. Houses built on sand that will only be destroyed and never provide any shelter. Cisterns that can leak and never quench our thirst. Jesus, let us help to return to you by your grace, for only in you we have all that complete rest and the true peace. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. In Isaiah, the prophet writes, doesn't anyone among you have respect for the Lord? Does anyone obey the message of the Lord's servant? Let the person who walks in the dark trust in the Lord. Let the one who doesn't have any light to guide him depend on their God. Lord, you call us to be obedient, diligent in all things, and then you ensure us that everything is under your sovereign and works according to your plan. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your law is perfect, reviving the soul. Your statutes are trustworthy, making wise the simple. We call on you to guide us with spiritual discernment, and especially in the AGM later, as we make decisions based on our own choices. Instill in our minds your wisdom and understanding in each of these matters, however small they may be, and give us the strength to consistently obey you most of all, regardless of the feelings within us, the circumstances around us, or the consequences before us, so that the outcomes will be righteous, bringing honor and glory to your holy name. May thy rich grace impart strength to our fainting hearts, our zeal inspire. As thou hast died for us, so may our love for thee, pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Gathering our prayers this morning, let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's finish by singing our praise to God with Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Love divine, all loves excelling.
So we did finish before your AGM. Just. Let's bless each other in the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.